looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You or Draylor? Yeah, yeah, Neo. Yeah, they wanna know. Hey, Neo.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Neo. Come on. Hey, I want to be famous. Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is Who's There, our weekly call-in show. People call in at 619-WHO-THEM, and then they leave us questions, comments, concerns, and then we play some of them. And then we talk about some of them, and then we play some of them at the end, and then don't talk about them. And those are the call to you're doing amazing.
Wow, this
sweeties.
Is like, if I'd never heard this, I would just be like, what? Turn it off.
And this is Who's There.
But first, we have lots of comments from people, you know, adding facts, information, corrections, comments.
Unfortunately, I wanted to see if we had
personal stories.
I wanted to see, actually, I should have checked that earlier, but I can do this really quickly. Mm. Well, no one called in about Tulsi's sister.
You mean V?
V.
Tulsi's sister? Today I saw a tweet that said V, Tulsi's sister for Vendetta.
For Vendetta, yeah. Stupid. It was Anthony Smith.
Stupid, stupid, stupid. Did you guys watch the debates last night? I normally wouldn't, but we did. And let me tell you.
It was boring.
No, it was actually fun, honestly. I had fun. I love to learn people's opinions on things like that I didn't know and learn about candidates that I didn't even know existed until they literally have enough votes, apparently, to get on the debate stage.
Tulsi's sister's name is Vrindavan.
Oh, I thought it was Volsi.
Volsi.
In case you guys didn't see Tulsi's sister, it's funny because all the candidates were tweeting, or like their people were tweeting from their accounts during the debate, mm-hmm. to like kind of expand their points or kind of go after other people a little bit shadily on Twitter. And no one was like, this is not me, because clearly it was not them. They were on stage, so they weren't tweeting, unless that would have been amazing if they were. Let me just like pull out my phone and make a tweet. But then Tulsi's sister was tweeting from her account and signed off. Tulsi's sister. But what her complaint was that Tulsi didn't get to talk a lot, which is very a thing that your sister would complain about from the audience. It's like, why aren't they giving my sister more time to talk? Love Volsi or whatever her
Love
name is. Sorry.
Volsi. It's really funny. I also like Tulsi being like, take this, V. You man the Twitter horn while I'm up there.
There was like really nothing that blatantly funny about last night. It was so you had to like find the things that were really funny, which were unfortunately V from V Tulsi's sister.
Point is, that's the extent of the political conversation you're going to get on this podcast. And it begins and ends with Tulsi's sister, our new favorite who?
V.
Please come on the podcast.
V.
We would love to talk to
come
you.
Come on the podcast.
Today on Who Weekly... Tulsi's sister. She would just complain.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren took all of my sister's airtime. My sister had to talk about being homophobic and didn't have the time.
She talked about, she spelled out every letter in LGBTQ.
She was like, I love gay people so much.
Yeah, she did actually.
I love Ashley O. We stan Ashley O.
Wait, what was the tweet that was like, she spelled out LGBTQ like she was reading it from an eye chart? That was really good.
LBBB. Me. Yeah,
I never can read those.
Me talking about sports.
Yeah.
What's the first comment? Oh, this is interesting.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. Okay. So I'm a little bit stoned. I'm listening to your shit. And you're talking about nuts for nuts and how it's a New York them. Well, I just would like to clue you guys in a little bit, expand the knowledge. So Nuts for Nuts is actually started by a guy from Chile. And I lived there for a while. And it's everywhere. It's like Nuts for Nuts, right, is a them only in New York and the United States, but then also is a them in Santiago, Chile, randomly. They're everywhere. Same smell, same thing. Everybody who hears you're from the States asks you about Nuts for Nuts and is like, yeah, we did that. We went there and we made that happen. It's very big them. All right, cool. Me in Chile.
Me in Chile.
I was looking it up later and it like actually started in Argentina and then it like moved to Chile. Mm-hmm. But it started in Buenos Aires in 1984.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And then it just like made its way here in 1993. And now it's all over New York.
That's so we're like big suckers for these nuts, they realized.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, well, bring the nuts to America. New Yorkers love them.
I'm going to get some. Next time I see some, I'm going to get some. I've never actually bought some nuts.
No, you're not.
I should.
No,
I should. I love learning about nuts.
So this says, what's the name of the guy who brought it here? Were you reading this New York Times thing?
Oh, I just had it up and then I closed it.
So good. No, it's so interesting.
Manny Garapinata.
Yeah. In Argentina, they're called Gari Piñatas.
Oh, because that's his last name. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Very cool. No, very
And they were like, what are we going to call it in America? And they were like, nuts for nuts?
Apparently, there was a rivalry between Argentina and Chile over these nuts.
Really?
That's what this says. Or maybe people selling the nuts. I mean, I'm just saying it's amazing. I love it.
My other favorite, my favorite rivalry is the one between Mr. Softy and the other one.
You mean like the different ice cream? I never notice when it's not Mr. Softy, but it is often.
But you know, that's like remember that really like iconic story? I think it was in the New York Times about like the turf wars where like the ice cream trucks would like claim ownership of certain neighborhoods and then like carry shotguns in their trucks to threaten the other trucks.
Like shoot the wheels off the other trucks. Yeah. That was like last year or the year before.
Yeah. It was like, 2 years ago. Yeah. And I love Mr. Softy. I got my first Mr. Softy a couple weeks ago and gotta say it was disappointing. It wasn't.
Wait, really?
It was like too soft serve.
It was not fully frozen?
It wasn't fully frozen. And so he like...
Oh, no.
He put it on the gone and then like it immediately just like tipped over.
No.
And then he handed it to me anyway and I was just like, okay. And it was $4. And I was like, I guess.
Oh.
It basically fell off the cone. I had to just suck it down really quickly. It was sad. So I need to get a replacement. I need to get a real one.
Okay.
What is next? Oh, here we go.
Hello, Rebody Spray. Bobby was asking which was the like iconic Bath and Body Works body spray of the past. And then Lindsay lived apparently in like a Victoria's Secret dominant body spray aroma region. But I just wanted to follow up on Bobby's question, which was a good one. And the scent was cucumber melon. Cucumber melon was the Bath and Body Works body spray of the whatever, late 90s, early 2000s. Cucumber melon, Bath and Body Works, them scent. Them of Bath and Body Works scent. Okay, crunch, crunch.
Grapefruit melon.
Cucumber melon.
Cucumber melon. Grapefruit melon.
When she said that, I was like, that is the name I remember. But I also remember the rose one that you mentioned.
I mean, it's totally, first of all, this is this is totally like generational. It's like the scents did change. Like if I said to you Gap Dream, remember that scent? Like the perfume at Gap. That's like a very specific, like if you're 30 something in 2019, you at once were into like the Gap scents. But yeah, the spray that happened when I was in middle school was strawberries and champagne or whatever.
Strawberries and champagne was a Victoria's Secret flavor.
Yeah. This is, you're talking about, this is Bed Bath.
Bath and Body Works is cucumber melon. And
right, because theirs were the gingham display. The gingham design, yeah. I didn't really go far with my spray. My spray purchase was a pure peer pressure purchase. And then I realized it was disgusting. It's like fully disgusting. And then I like never used it. And then it sat in the guest bathroom essentially for like years and years until my mom like had the balls to throw it out.
Why didn't Yankee Candle ever make a body spray? Like, I want to smell like Home Sweet Home.
Good question.
Ever wanted to smell like a Yankee Candle? Now you can.
And smell like grass. Don't they have candles that are like grass or whatever? Dirty baseball mitt or whatever. What are you searching?
I'm Yankee Candle body wash.
They don't.
No.
They just make candles. If you are famous for making such weird, bad smells, you should definitely make body wash or sprays.
Honestly, Yankee Candle pumpkin buttercream. I want to bathe in it.
Also, we act like Axe body spray is the body spray of them, but like Victoria's Secret was doing these body sprays for like way before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was a really good Yankee Candle. My mom always had Yankee Candle Home Sweet Home.
What does Home Sweet Home smell like?
My mom's house.
What is it? What's the scent?
It smells like... Nothing. It smells like nothing.
What does that mean?
Truly. I mean, like, I want to see Yankee Candle's explanation of Home Sweet Home because it doesn't smell like anything. It says, okay, here we go. A heartwarming blend of cinnamon, baking spices, and freshly poured tea, I guess?
Its top fragrances are apple, cinnamon, then nutmeg, cherry, juniper berry, and curcumin and musk.
What?
I mean, this is what your house smelled like.
It did smell like this. Although the thing about candles is that they don't really, like, the odor is not that intense from a Yankee Candle. You have to be pretty close to it. Right?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true.
Like, it's candles true. Candles are sort of scams.
I mean...
Especially expensive ones.
Sometimes candles can be nice. Sometimes I go to other people's houses and they have candles, and I'm like, wow, must be nice, you know.
I guess like if you're the only candles that actually do anything and like create an overpowering and overwhelming scent are expensive candles. But like,
oh yeah,
a $20 Yankee Candle is not gonna set your house like on fire in the like aroma department.
But what if it's the limited edition, Alfresco afternoon scent, or how about Moonlit Blossoms or White Strawberry Bellini? How about Belgian Waffles? Have you tried that candle yet?
How about,
these are all the like new scents for like the spring. They're so out of ideas that they're now coming up with the most wild shit. Grilled peaches and vanilla.
That sounds great. I love grilled peaches. There's also blush.
Then grill some peaches.
You know what?
How about Easter Basket?
Home Sweet Home is one of their biggest selling candles. Makes sense.
I get that people are like into Yankee Candles, but I just, it's not my.
Do you ever go to the Yankee Candle store in the mall? Do they have those in Massachusetts?
Nothing has given me a headache faster than going into the Yankee Candle store in the mall. Are you kidding?
The moment you walk into the Yankee Candle store, you're like ruined.
Headache.
And then you're smelling them all and you're like, ugh, they all smell the same. Yeah. How are you supposed to differentiate the smells inside the Yankee Candle store when it just smells, all the smells run together?
The smells run together. Ugh. Yeah, it's not a great way to sell smells if they're all just fucking mushed together in the store, you know? And everyone's just bending over and giving a little sniff. I'm like getting a headache. That's just my take on this.
Speaking of places with overpowering smells.
Oh my God.
I am calling about the Scottish Parthenon, the national, the Scottish National Monument, that was begun in the early 19th century and abandoned when Scotland ran out of money. I thought you might like to know that it is now, it's located on Calton Hill in Edinburgh, which is a famous cottage where, homosexual men like to hook up.
And I know that because I'm from Scotland. I'm from Edinburgh, and that is what that place is famous for. I hope that is a enjoyable fact for you.
That was such a good, like, he said with this, the fact that he was like, I am knowledgeable about this for these reasons. Here's my expertise.
I can't really find the cottage.
Maybe you're not supposed to.
It's the cottage nearby, but I guess they don't really have it
but
on the map.
But only true heads know. True dickheads.
True dickheads know where the cruising cottage is.
I don't mean like actual, I mean dickheads. I mean actual dickheads. Like, that's what I meant. You get it.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Love to know that a failure actually turned out to be something wonderful. A place where gay men can go hook up.
It's good. This monument, though, every time I look at it, I'm just like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
You would not be able to go there because you would just be too busy, like, sobbing, like, because you'd be laughing so much. But the guy's like, want to hook up? And you're like, but the monument, it's
look at it.
So
they didn't finish
funny.
It.
They didn't finish it. It's a failure.
They didn't finish it. Look at it. Me okay. Pulling up photos of the real Parthenon. Look what it's supposed to look like.
This is hilarious, guys.
It's like a quarter done. It doesn't even have the inside.
Everyone's like, we cannot bring Bobby back to the National Monument. He is not allowed to go there anymore. It's triggering.
Hey, I just think it would be important to know that Lindsay Lohan Beach Club has officially shut down, as it looks like there is not going to be a season 2 this summer. I actually was attempting to go about a few weeks ago in Mykonos, and found out very quickly that it did not exist anymore. And then when I was stopping over in Athens, also found out that her nightclub in Athens had also been completely shut down. And supposedly there's now a Lohan Seaside coming to somewhere in the Athens area this summer. But not looking too hot for our dear friend Lindsay Lohan. All right, crunch, crunch.
According to lots of sources that have been in Greece trying to go to Lindsay Lohan's beach club in Mykonos, it is shut down, which is weird because recently she did tweet a video in which it looked like a place was open and she labeled it her beach club. Mm-hmm. And it's so strange because her whole thing is like, I quit the show, I canceled the beach club or whatever, when it's like so clear that you would that she would never do that. Like, what? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the show did not do well, and like it got canceled. Lindsay Lohan did not decide not to do it a second season. Like, that's insane.
Well, and then the sources close to Lindsay Lohan are saying that like she, this must be a lie. They were like, the ratings were terrible, we're not bringing you back. And now Lindsay's like, I didn't come back because I didn't want to create drama that was fake. And MTV wanted me to fake the drama, and
that actually could have been part of it. Your show is being canceled because the drama wasn't good and no one watched it. So, and she took that to be like, I don't want to create fake drama. Well, then in that case, like, you're not going to get a show, I guess.
But I just think that she wasn't good at it. Like, she wasn't good at the fake drama on the last season.
She wasn't good at it. She wasn't good at it. So now Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club is the yummy pop, ScarJo yummy pop of Greece.
At least you can go to the.
At least
the
you're
ScarJo
still in Greece.
Go to the ScarJo Yummy Pop and you take a photo with like a dilapidated building in Mykonos, it's like the end of a science fiction movie where you're like, I swear there was a building here, and everyone's
it's
like,
true.
You're crazy, and you're like no, I was here.
There will be a day when another store comes and they take down all of that, like ScarJo, we're Yummy Pop, we're moving or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When will that be? We don't know. So you guys are going to have to take advantage of that.
Just like in the 100 years from now, some child is going to be playing on the beach and like sand is going to blow away and it's going to reveal like a Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club logo underneath. Yeah. And he's going to be like, Mommy, what's this? And they're like, I don't know. And they're going to think it's some like really interesting thing. And when they do the Googling, they're going to be like, oh.
And then I'm going to be the great great grandmother somehow still alive, and I'm going to be like, "Oh, that's from my time. Like, those were the days." And I'm going to like be like, "Oh, let me tell you a story about Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club."
God.
There was no drama and it was canceled after one season. Everyone's like, "What seasons? What's TV? What's Lindsay Lohan? What's Beach Club?" I was in Florida this past weekend, and guess what was the talk of the town?
Your mom's Aura frame?
The Aura frame. The Aura frame was scrolling through every photo. I was like, oh, there's that. Oh, there's that. I'm like, where'd they get that photo? There's always a photo where I'm like, where'd they get that photo? How'd they get that photo?
I don't know where my mom gets the gifts that she sends me. Like, when she sends me a text gift, I'm like, where did you find that? And sometimes I look at her Aura frame and I'm like, where did you download this?
No, I'm like, where did you get this photo from? Whose Instagram did you steal this photo off of, you know?
They love to steal from, and they love to just screenshot and not crop. So it'll just be like a cropped iPhone photo that's Instagram. On the Aura frame.
Exactly, with comments and everything. It'll just be on, it'll be zoomed in sometimes, so it's extra blurry. But you know what? That's how easy it is to get the photos on the Aura frame, because my parents can figure out how to do it. Do they do it well? No, but do they do it? Yes.
And the other thing that's great about Aura frames, when you give them to your mom, your mother, a mother in your life, a mother figure, it's a great Mother's Day gift, whoever the mother in your life is. You can connect it to your Aura app. And you can just photos. Send them photos. You
right.
can, if they approve it, you can just put photos and kind of troll them and have fun and put random photos. I do it to Lindsay sometimes.
Yeah, he does.
You can do it to your mom. My mom gave me access because she likes putting
You got to be careful. Photos. You got to be a little careful with that. But you could do it, but you should do it.
Gotta be a little bit careful. But Aura frames are Wi-Fi connected and they come with unlimited storage because it's all in the cloud. So you can share as many photos as you want from your phone to mom's frame. Not only will she be grateful, it's not another sweater. She'll love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you. So right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code WHO at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, Lindsay. Hi, Bobby. This is mostly just for your information because it is neither timely or not that interesting, but I called a couple weeks ago about Mary Steenburgen possibly re-Wilsoning, and I did my own research and found out that Mary started writing music when she went under general anesthesia for her surgery on her forearm in 2007, and then when she woke up from the general anesthesia, music was pouring out of her mind. Since then, she's written over 100 songs, including one that was performed by her in the movie Las Vegas with all those old dudes. I just felt like this is really important. good form, Bella Thorne.
So, Mary Steenburgen is an iconic songwriter. Who knew? I didn't.
I had no idea. I didn't either. And honestly, like, she's very good. She's very low-key about it. Some of our other favorite iconic actresses turned songwriters, singers are not as low-key about it. Literally could not be less low-key about it. Rita, I'm looking at you, Wilson, not Aura. I'm sorry, she's like the least low-key about it that anyone's ever been.
Yeah, Rita Wilson skywrites her talents. Mary Steenburgen is very quiet
she's
about
humble.
It.
She's humble. Music is her passion.
Extremely humble. I feel like no one on the planet, I mean, as much as we love Rita Wilson, I don't think anyone on the planet is calling her humble, right?
No, she's not humble.
No.
She's not humble or humbled by anything, that woman. But Mary seems like a little bit more... You know, so she had surgery. She woke up and there was music in her head. And since then, she's been doing music for all the types of things that you could do music for. She did a song for the movie that she was in. Remember Las Vegas? I loved the name Las Vegas. There was Las Vegas. Get it.
It was
Las
such
Vegas.
A good name, but that movie is
but
really bad. It's,
no, it's
really
bad.
I tried to give it
really
a shot because, you know, I love movies about old people like, you
yeah.
know, having yeah. a second wind. Yeah. And it's terrible.
A final wind.
So Mary Steenburgen, who were them? Them? Mm,
it's tough because Ted Danson is a them and they're such an iconic couple.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Let's... tough for me because she is technically kind of a character actress, even though Cheer. It's tough. That's really tough.
Yeah.
Because when they were like on, I was watching the CBS This Morning interview with her talking about this songwriting thing. Uh-huh. And they were like, Back to the Future. And like the things they were naming were so kind of random to me. Like she didn't, she started Back to the Future like 3.
Oh, know? Yeah. It's the Western one. She's
yeah,
in the Western one.
Right. So it was kind of like, this is your reference points that you're like putting out there. I'm not quite sure that I see a them.
And she won an Oscar, but can you name the movie she won an Oscar for?
Like, no, unfortunately.
You never will. Guess. Just like to throw a name out and see what happens.
But I can't even think of more than one movie that...
Melvin and Howard.
What is that?
It's a Jonathan Demme movie from 1980. I've never
seen
it.
You
no.
like
the only reason I know about it is because it's the one that she won the Oscar for.
Right. I mean, I loved her in Last Man on Earth. I mean, I can only think of recent, and I loved her in Book Club. She's so good in Book Club.
I love her in Book Club. I love her in...
One of the best. The competition is strong.
I love her in Book Club. I love her as the evil lawyer in Philadelphia. I love her as the sexy, horny mom in What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
So the fact that you're saying like these characters that don't have names that you can remember, you're just saying like these kind of sidekicky archetypes. Yeah. Kind of says hooey to me.
I love her as Mary Steenburgen in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. She's so good at that.
Mary. They love Mary.
They do love Mary.
They love Mary. So that's Mary Steenburgen. Let's call her a them. Is that what we decided?
No, but you could be kind.
I don't know what we decided anymore. Point is, we're not talking about Mary Steenburgen. The reason people are bringing this up, we got a lot of calls about Mary Steenburgen's brain injury or... brain quirk that turned her into a...
It's like, was it a brain injury, though? It was like she was having surgery.
Anesthesia.
Or it was just more like she... under anesthesia clicked something in her brain. So, which I don't know if that even can happen, but like...
It happened to her.
Okay.
So we get a lot of calls about how anesthesia turned Mary Steenburgen into an iconic and extremely humble songwriter. But the reason that happened is because she's promoting this movie Wild Rose... for which she wrote music.
Yes, the Vox Lux of country. So I hope it'll be better than Vox Lux, though. That's rude to say. But it's movie, Vox Luxy.
Remember she's in... Oh, my God. She's in The Help. I forgot she's in The Help. She plays, like, the New York editor.
Yeah.
And she says chutzpah at one point. She's like, you got chutzpah, I'll tell you that much. And it's like, all the lines are like, let's make her seem New York.
It's good, honestly.
I like this Sarah Ross. She testifies without complaining too much. And that Bertha, she's got chutzpah, I'll give her that.
This movie, Wild Rose, it's sort of like A Star is Born, but Irish? Scottish?
Mm-hmm.
The actress in it is Irish, but I believe she's playing a Scot. Am I right there?
I don't know. You're asking me, and I'm like, I don't know.
It is a movie about an aspiring singer who's like, late 20s. And that singer is played by Jessie Buckley. And the song that she's making the round singing is a song written by Mary Steenburgen. And that song is called Glasgow. The song is really good. Mm-hmm. Good for Mary Steenburgen. But the thing I like about Jessie Buckley is, number one, she got famous because she didn't win a talent show. I love people who play second. She plays second. I also love that it's extremely British, that our version of this was they were trying to find the replacement. Wasn't it Grease? Didn't we have a reality show where it was like, we need a new Grease cast?
Oh, we've had this. We had Find an Annie. We've done this many, many times. There's
the British equivalent of Americans desperate for a new Annie and like desperate for a new cast of Grease.
The Oliver one?
Is Oliver.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's pretty funny.
It makes sense. It's called, the show is called I Do Anything, which is so great. Aired in, where did it air? 2008.
She did not win, but she came in second, and then she like kind of stayed famous. And then I was like, why do I know who this person is?
Yeah.
Turns out, she was in Chernobyl.
Oh, God.
This is a Chernobyl podcast.
How was her Russian accent? Or did she not do
one? No, they don't do Russian accents.
So what did she do, an Irish accent?
Lindsay, they don't do Russian accents in Chernobyl.
So what did she do, a British accent?
Oh. Everyone did a British accent except Stellan Skarsgård, who was like, I'm just doing, you're getting what I'm giving you.
It's weird to not do a Russian accent, but to do a British accent. Like, I know, I get, it's still standardized. Like, her accent isn't British, but she did a British accent.
Right, it's standard, but I was reading that. Did you read that, like, that really long thread from the, Russian journalist, the American journalist from Russia, who was, like, explaining why Chernobyl is so good?
How kind of an older person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they were like, it's like the best representation of, Soviet life in the 80s that I've ever seen. It's so good. And they were, complimenting everything. And they were like, people are complaining about everyone speaking in a British accent. But honestly, like, I like it because the Russian accent is hard to get right. And I'd rather them speak correctly than. And also, he was talking about how it's really easy for Russian accents to like turn into parody. And so it's like, it would just be really distracting if people did bad Russian accents. So let's just do something uniform.
I get it. I don't like that you just turn this into an excuse to talk at me about Chernobyl.
Ain't no yellow brick road running through Glasgow, but I found one that's stronger than stone. Ain't no place like home.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. I just saw the movie Late Night, which was great, but that's not what I'm here to talk about because I saw the most bananas preview for this new Milo Ventimiglia movie, and it's like a dog movie, and it's just insane. Amanda Seyfried's in it. It's incredibly hooey. I feel like it has Christian undertones. It feels a lot like Cars meets Marley and Me, and I just cannot understand what the fuck this movie is supposed to be about. I think the preview was narrated by the dog. I don't know what it is with this, like, resurgence of, like, dog-narrated movies that make no fucking sense, because Dennis Quaid just did one that I saw previews for all the fucking time. It's the hooiest shit, and I don't know why these people are just, like, choosing to do it, because Milo Ventimiglia could, like, literally never act again. He has so much This Is Us money. Anyways, if you could break down what the fuck this preview is, it's called, like, Racing in the Rain or something, and it just is bizarre. Like, I feel like Marley and Me made me cry because it made kind of a bit of sense, and like you felt bad for the dog, but this one I'm like, is the dog gonna drive the car? I don't know. I need your help. Anyways, RIP ScarJo Yummy Top, good form Bella Thorne, Me in Grease.
Is the dog going to drive the car is definitely the first question you ask when you see the poster for The Art of Racing in the Rain, because it's Milo Ventimiglia in the car with the dog, and you're like, I don't know what this movie is about, but I know dogs are hot right now. Maybe the only thing we have dogs left is a dog that drives.
I love that everyone, like, dogs are not hot right now. Dogs are always hot. Dogs are like dogs have been hot for a long time.
Dogs are always hot.
Like, dogs are in, always. So are cats. This movie is based on a book called The Art of Racing in the Rain by a guy named Garth Stein. And the book is about a race car driver and his dog Enzo. And the book is written from the perspective of the dog. That is the main dog purpose of this movie. Mm-hmm. And it was a book. It was successful. It was made into a movie. It's directed by Simon Curtis, who directed My Week with Marilyn, which is so strange to me. Also, goodbye, Christopher Robin. Like, what's going on here? Anyways, you know, we all have to get work. And it is...
There have been...
Yeah.
Two of those A Dog's movies have been released this year alone.
Yeah.
There was that first one, A Dog's Purpose, that came out in 2017.
The sequel to A Dog... No, it was A Dog's Purpose, then A Dog's Journey.
A Dog's Journey came out in May, last month. But also, there was another Dog's that came out in January that's based on a book by the same author.
A Dog's Way Home. Yeah. What's wild is
there
that...
There are so many
not,
of them.
It's like the human voice that's given to the dog is what is we're really freaked out by. You know?
And they don't do the CG mouth, because it's just the dog's. It's in the dog's head.
The dog doesn't move its mouth. The dog just exists, and we hear its voice. It's a voiceover. Yeah. A dog.
And it's
voiceover.
always some old man or Josh.
And here's
Gad.
The thing with dog movies, which I don't
What's
like.
What's the thing? Tell me the thing.
Is that the dog always dies because it's a dog, and so there's always like if they're gonna make you cry, the dog's gonna get sick and die. Do you know what I mean? It's like the Marley and Me.
That's
role.
The iconic Marley and Me thing. Marley and Me is the number one dog movie. Yeah.
Everyone knows the dog dies. Oh my God, sorry, spoiler. Were you planning on watching Marley and Me next week?
Well, Marley and Me ends with like Owen Wilson and Jennifer Aniston having to put down the dog, and it's like very sad.
But like that's the thread of these these stories always end with like the dog giving advice.
Dog's journey ends in death. Absolutely.
And isn't dog's journey dog's purpose? The dog like comes back to life as a new dog.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Get out of here with that.
Because it's Josh Gad being like, first I was this, and then I was this, and then now I'm this.
Finally, a role and the that dog's makes sense whole for Josh thing, Gad.
And the dog's whole thing is like changing lives, I guess. But well, in a dog's
do
way home, the
lives.
Dog in a dog's way home, the dog is Bryce Dallas Howard.
It is so selfish for us to just put these dogs in a place just to serve us, to change our lives. What about their lives? You have no answer for that, do you?
I really need a dog's movie about like shutting down breeders.
What's a good like animal rightsy? Well, Free Willy kind of had animal rights involved in it.
Free Willy was definitely a movie about indoctrinating children. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, with like animal rights vibes. What about like Dunstan Checks In? Was that what about Andre?
I feel like Dunstan Checks In was very irresponsible because it made kids want monkeys, and like we shouldn't
right.
be getting
like we
like,
do not
illegally
have,
importing
yeah.
monkeys.
No,
you know,
that is
from
true.
Wherever the monkeys are from.
Andre was also like men, like almost said
I
men's
never
rights,
saw
animals
Andre.
Rights-y.
I never saw Andre. Was that
but
the
Andre
one
with... is so good with the seal and the girl.
Tina Majorino.
Yeah, she's so good. Andre, she's a good. She's so good. Good child actress.
But The Art of Racing in the Rain. Here we go. I'm going to read you the synopsis. The novel tells the story of Denny Swift, a race car driver and customer representative in a Seattle BMW dealership, and his dog, Enzo, who believes in the Mongolian legend that a dog who is prepared will be reincarnated in his next life as a human. Enzo sets out to prepare, with the Seattle Times calling his journey a struggle to hone his humanness, to make sense of the good, the bad, and the unthinkable. God, imagine learning how to be human from Milo Ventimiglia. Anyway, Enzo spends most of his days watching television, gleaning what he can about his owner's greatest passion, which is race car driving, and relating it to life. He watches as Danny marries Eve, the birth of their daughter, and then Eve's development of brain cancer, which he can detect through his acute sense of smell.
No, dog, Enzo,
eventually plays a key role in Denny's child custody battle with his in-laws and distills his observations on the human condition in the mantra, that which you manifest is... God, I could tell, because there's a scene in that trailer where Amanda Seyfried is, like, looking frail, and I was like, they're going to kill that... They're going to kill her off.
So they don't kill the dog, they kill Amanda Seyfried.
I mean, if
and
you can't kill the
like,
dog,
the
kill Amanda
like,
Seyfried.
Sniff, sniff, she has cancer. This is, a scientist would a scientist would hear this and be like, this is.
Sniff, sniff, she has cancer. But
mean,
also, like, what good is Enzo sniffing if he can't do anything about it? Like, the dog can't be like.
Maybe he's also a doctor.
The dog can't be like, hey, Milo, Amanda Seyfried has cancer. Like, he can't do that.
That's the dog from the WAG ad, and you know
no,
it.
No, I know. The dog from the WAG ad can tell that Olivia Wilde
like,
has cancer,
Olivia
but can't.
No, don't say that. Olivia Wilde, I think you have HPV. It has to be a little bit less severe. I mean, it's Olivia Munn, though. You guys know the joke, obviously.
I think you have HPV, Olivia Wilde.
Anyways,
I love cannot dogs. Believe all the death they throw into these fucking books. I mean, I understand that like death is a part of life, but like Jesus Christ, they're so manipulative.
Yeah,
and this
that's
video,
why they're successful, and that's why this is a movie
starring
Kevin Costner as a dog.
This movie's gonna make so much money.
Meanwhile, everyone's like, oh my God, Lion King voices. And I'm over here like, Kevin Costner as a dog.
Well, the photos from the trailer, like the little title cards from the trailer, let me read them. This summer, clip. Meet the dog, clip. Who will show the world, clip. How to be human.
That's what? Not... What?
I don't want to learn how to be human from a dog.
I get it, but that's like not the... That is not what we're doing here. That should not be what we're doing here. And also to the caller who said that Milo Ventimiglia doesn't need to do stuff like this, he sure does.
Few people need to do stuff more than Milo Ventimiglia.
Oh, he is on the list of people who need to do stuff like this. They just went down the list. They were like, oh, Milo.
Who else is on the list of people who
Amanda
need to do
Seyfried,
stuff like this?
I honestly just feels like loves dogs because she has a very passionate relationship with her dog. I didn't mean
she
passionate like gross, like I mean like she just loves her dog. I think his name, what's his name, like Flynn or something. It has an Instagram. Anyways, the point is that I believe that Amanda did this movie because she loves dogs, and Milo did this movie because he loves money.
I think the answer is just like people who are on popular ensemble television shows, because they
need
to break out
movies.
They need to break out from the thing that they are seen as, like a collective.
Yeah. The only annoying thing about this movie is promoting it. Like, you know what I mean? That's like the only thing that's going to be annoying to do is to have to go around and promote it.
Humiliating.
Right.
Have to tell like anecdotes about dogs, what you love about dogs, what you think humans can learn from dogs.
Right.
It's humiliating.
That's what I'm saying.
I just cannot believe there have been so many dogs, like Dog's Journey, this W. Bruce Cameron guy. There are so many of them.
Right. But that's, I think, the dogs, the success of a dog's journey and a dog's purpose have started the new cycle of these dog movies in a very specific type of dog movie. You know, not an Air Bud. He's not Air Bud. He's your bud. And
Air Bud's really good.
Yeah,
loved Air Bud.
I agree. More Air Bud.
Mothers. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
and
up.
And we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
that. Of their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories.
Any
the
good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. That helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all
mother.
All mothers. For years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase. So our next call is about Wendy Williams. It's also one that we were asked to play with a disguised voice.
But we also don't want other outlets taking our goss and running with it. So we did put a little bit of a Who Weekly tag on it. So hopefully you can hear the call through the tag.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too distracting.
Yeah, we're doing our own. We're doing our own tags now. We want to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. But it's just some interesting Wendy Williams tea.
Hey guys, if you put this on the show, please use a voice changer. But I don't think necessarily.
Who Weekly? The podcast.
Information. Wendy Williams is currently taking meetings all over town.
Who Weekly? Los Angeles, the podcast.
Pitching an unscripted series about her life. I guess her life at this point in time. Her rehabilitation. Her
Who Weekly? The podcast.
Hot Girl Summer, quite frankly. So you should know that she did show up to our offices wearing
Who Weekly? The podcast.
Crystal UGG boots folded down twice, so that's two folds. And trap shorts with a matching.
Who Weekly? Hoodie. The podcast.
That's the outfit she chose and came to take this meeting and to pitch her show. Thanks for taking the call, you guys.
Who Weekly, the podcast.
Have a good day at work, Olivia Wilde.
So that's really interesting. Wow, what a great call. I'm so glad we were able to mask it.
I have heard this goss. She's like trying to get away from her ex-husband, her soon-to-be ex-husband. She's trying to get away from New York. Bad vibes for her. Mm-hmm. So like she's taking meetings in LA. Good goss, good goss.
Would you watch that TV show? Do you think it'd be good or do you think it'd be kind of sad?
Well, if it's the same TV show as it is now, of course I'll watch it. I love Wendy Williams.
No, I mean, like, she's pitching a reality show. That's what
oh,
she's saying.
Oh, no, I don't want
She's pitching an
that.
Unscripted reality show about her summer.
I don't want... Well, oh, God. I mean, I don't want that.
Exactly.
No. I just want Wendy to do what Wendy does best. This is the problem. Do what you do best.
Wanting to do a reality show is sort of... It reads as a dark move. It reads as a desperate move, and it makes me nervous.
And Wendy's, like, good at what she does, like... If I was Wendy, what I would do is I would do a really comprehensive sit-down interview with somebody and, like, talk about everything,
yeah.
Not spin it into a reality show. Like, that to me is the less – I don't know. Like, wouldn't you want, like, a good sit-down interview with Wendy mm-hmm. with someone who knows how to interview and she kind of talks about what she's been going through and all of that stuff, right? And then
no one ever watches these reality shows, you know?
No,
like,
no one does.
No one ever actually watches
no
them.
No one does. No, people watch the first episode. People watch, you know, it's like
remember, two people with more intrigue or like you know, cultural capital than at the time of Blac Chyna and Rob Kardashian, and that show was a big ass flop.
Same with like Kylie's show, not a lot of people watched. I'm thinking of Lindsay Lohan's show on Oprah that no one really watched. Like, it's very, you know, it's not like this given thing that just because people are buzzing about you that people are going to watch a reality show about you. Like, I mm-hmm. just feel like there's a better way to get your story out there and have people like hear you.
Do the 1 hour interview and you'll be fine.
And then go back to the show that you or rejigger the show that works so well for you. You know, mm-hmm. everyone loves Wendy's show. Why like change that?
Why change it? You know. Next call.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. Who is Sebastian Maniscalco? I just read about him at work. He's some kind of comedian. I've never heard this name before, and apparently he's only outsold in comedy arenas by Kevin Hart. Like, he made $60 million in his last 30 shows, which seems like a lot for a name I've literally never heard before. Who is this guy? Crunch, crunch.
Bobby, had you heard of this guy?
No, not once. I had no idea who he was. And I've seen Green Book.
He's in Green Book. What is he in Green Book?
He works at the club. Oh, you know who he is? I was completely wrong. He's Viggo Mortensen's brother.
Oh, okay. Did they just run out of friend, like Italian guys or something?
Or friend? Who cares? He's in a few scenes with Viggo Mortensen. Saw this it movie. Literally doesn't matter. I don't want to talk about Green Book. I want to talk about Sebastian Maniscalco.
Sebastian Maniscalco is hosting the VMAs.
Mm-hmm. Sebastian Maniscalco is 100 years old, and he's hosting the VMAs. He's not in videos or music, and yet he's hosting their awards. He's never been on MTV before, and yet he's hosting the awards.
And to be fair, his shtick is that he doesn't know anything. So, like, yeah. It's not like they're pretending like he is cool. They're running with the idea that he's not cool.
Spots are about, oh, I don't know. I don't know who Cardi B is.
It's instead of going with somebody who is very cool but not as good as a host, they're trying to find somebody who would be more hosty. But my question is, like, are they just going to start off with him saying, I don't know who anyone is, and then do that throughout the entire show? Because that's not going to last for the show. Like, it's only going to have to be the shtick to get you in the door or to open the show. And he can't do that for the full show. Most of his comedy, I mean, he's a big comedian in terms of, like, the stand-up, like, what do you call it? The stand-up world.
The stand-up world?
No, more like the circuit. The circuit.
Stand-up circuit. That's the word you were looking for. Yeah.
Circuit. But his comedy, he's famous for comedy that's about, like, standing in lines at the airport and, like, tying your shoelaces.
His most famous joke is about a doorbell.
Yeah,
his most famous joke is like, remember back when we were kids and when the doorbell rang, we were excited. Now when the doorbell rings, we're confused and concerned. And then the audience loses their mind for 8 minutes.
Yeah. That's so true. Ah! See, I think this is a boomer comedian and I can tell
because
he's generational.
Right. It's generational boomer comedy.
Also, boomers love to go see live stand-up. So like, boomers fill arenas for this guy. He made $15 million.
They're like $150. Who cares?
Between in 1 year, and he was on Comedians in Cars because Jerry Seinfeld loves him because Jerry Seinfeld's a fucking boomer, which is fine. But that's why this guy is a thing, because when boomers want to have a night out, they're like, oh, should we go see some live comedy? He reminds me of Dane Cook, to be honest, at Dame Cook's Puke, just like a guy I'd never heard of doing like very basic.
But there's no vulgarity there. It's like, it's more approachable.
A stand-up, like,
it's very classic. It's textbook stand-up.
If you were a stand-up, you would be like, this guy's got it down. Like, he hits the beats perfectly or whatever.
Right. So let's go down the list of the top 10. The world's highest paid comedians of 2018, he's number 10.
Yeah.
He made $15 million. Number 9. Yeah. Do we know who Jeff Dunham is? $16.5 million.
Maybe. Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan, number 8. He made $17.5 million.
Amazing.
7. Terry Fator, $18 million. Vegas puppet king. Isn't he like a super creep, apparently, allegedly?
We talked about him on this podcast. Remember, his mom hates him or whatever?
6, Gabriel Iglesias, who literally drive anywhere in the country. you will see a billboard for Gabriel Iglesias. See billboard. You see billboard. He's everywhere. He's always touring.
And their definition of comedian is like actual work upstanding touring comedian. They don't mean like a comedian that got like a Netflix deal and like is doing. Do you know what I mean? Like they that has to be separate because
this isn't like Eliza whatever.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Ricky Gervais, number five, $25 million.
Notice no women. Yeah,
Oh, yeah, none. Oh, women? Women who? Four, Chris Rock, $30 million. Dave Chappelle, three, $35 million.
Interesting.
Kevin Hart, number two, $57 million.
And that's I think this is because when Kevin Hart does a show, he can sell out an
Madison
arena.
Square Garden. Yeah.
Yeah, like basically for himself, which is the, and he can do it for like four nights. And so that's like the kind of money where you start making millions of dollars for doing literal touring.
Number one, Jerry Seinfeld, $57.5 million. I love this headline. Sebastian Maniscalco adds third show due to popular demand. Where? Syracuse. So it's just like
Syracuse.
Yeah. His tour: Tulsa, Oklahoma; Thackerville, Oklahoma; Wichita, Kansas; Charlotte, North Carolina; North Carolina.
And I googled the guy. I googled the guy who produces the VMAs. He also produces other like music award shows. And guess how old he is.
55.
So there, like, there you have it. Like, they're just, you know, and I'm kind of like not trying to be like a hater, like, oh, like old people, like don't hire, da, da, da. But my thing is like, it's such a clear strategy that it's like, I wonder how it's going to go. It reminds me of the Howard Stern hosting the VMAs. It reminds me, it's like a very specific era of stand-up comedians when they all were hosting these different award shows, when they weren't necessarily musicians, you know, it went
in a way.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Like, in a way.
But this is not what MTV is.
No one's going to watch the VMAs, right?
Yeah.
Even when they get a good host, no one's watching the VMAs. So it's sort of like must be a fun time for them, maybe. Sort of low pressure. Let's just see if we can make it funny. And this must be the guy being like, well, this guy's funny. At the very least, it'll be funny.
But do you think that like this is a very like wish, like a wishing nostalgic look back at when when MTV was cool, when comedians did do it and it was like fun and edgy and blah blah, and music and comedy did go together and all that stuff? Because like that is not necessarily the case anymore. And so I feel like this guy is like this nostalgic heavy vibe to try and get people to watch the VMAs again. When, you know, all of the nominees are like Lil Pump, essentially, and it's not going to be as big of a connection because, like, though, you know, it's like not like that anymore.
Yeah. I got to say, it intrigues me. It makes me want to watch at least the opening monologue or something.
Oh, I'm watching this. Are you kidding? I'm watching
when
this.
When are they? Like next month?
They're always the beginning of September, end of August, right? I mean, literally, I'm looking at his YouTube videos and he's got Whole Foods skit. Aren't You Embarrassed Checking In at the Airport? When Your Doorbell Rang 20 Years Ago Versus Now. Can you play some of it here?
Yes.
I was sitting in my house a couple weeks ago, just relaxing. My doorbell rang. This is weird. It's a different feeling when your doorbell rings today opposed to 20 years ago, right? 20 years ago, your doorbell rang. That was a happy moment in your house. It's called company. Be sitting there on a Thursday night watching TV, your doorbell rang, the whole family shot off the couch. Oh my God! Put the lights on, somebody's here! We got people! The whole family went to the door. The kids were in socks, they slid up to the door. Nobody looked to see who it was. Right, you just opened up the door. You were like, oh my God, look at that.
But with that, we are done for the day. Thank you for listening to Who's There, as usual. It's really great to have you here.
I'm
really terrible at closing and opening today. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly. Oh yeah, we donated over $400 to the Yellowhammer Fund. Thank you to everyone who bought merch.
So nice.
We were able to donate
to do that,
which is amazing. It's all because of you. That rules. What a great cause. Call in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, concerns for next week, and we will see you on Tuesday.
Bye bye.
Have a great weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. I can feel it. Goodbye.
It's going to be a great weekend. I can feel it.
You will, Jayla. Yo, they want to know. Hey.
Hi, is Eileen Fisher a who or a them? Also, if you ever find yourself needing tea on Eileen Fisher, hit me up. Okay, me and Grace. Bye. Hi, it's me again. Just calling to say, like, I already know what the answer to the Eileen Fisher question is. I'm the one who just called about that, obviously. But, yeah, I already know it's going to be, like, old white, rich white lady them, otherwise generally a who by all other standards. So just, like, hope you didn't waste your time answering that. I hope you don't play this. I mean, feel free. Okay. Me and Grace, bye.